Jenny and I took Rowan hiking last month for the first time. We take an annual pilgrimage to the mountains because the one thing that's really hard for me about living in the Midwest is the flatness of it all. I love it here, but I miss the majesty of the mountains because I think that might be the first place I ever really experienced the grandeur of God. So we try to get to the mountains at least once a year. And this time we wanted to bring our son so that he would start from the earliest age, growing up knowing the beauty and tranquility of hiking closer to the heavens. For the most part, it went really well. We got in some beautiful 8-mile hikes through gorgeous fields of wildflowers among the towering Grand Tetons. But there was one serious drawback. There was this haziness that obscured the view of the mountains in the distance and clouded the panoramic picture. It was caused by the volume of smoke from the fires burning states away in Northern California. I'm sure you read about those fires, 3 of them, wildfires creating massive devastation of acres of forest, people's homes, whole towns. Its effects could be seen from space and known hundreds of miles away. It reminded me of the uncontrollable nature of a fire lit, of the danger and destruction of it, and about how long it takes to restore what's burnt. I thought about that this week because James compares hateful and destructive speech to a blazing wildfire. It's uncontrollable and devastating. It hazes the view of God's grandeur and can take years to heal. In the same way that 95% of forest fires are caused by human negligence, James tells us that the destructive nature of hurtful speech is caused by a negligent and uncontrolled tongue. Think about all the examples we have of such fires burning in our culture. The epidemic of bullying among youth and children. The first one starts by saying something cruel about a classmate or teammate, and it spreads quickly and destructively. It becomes all-consuming to the one being bullied, and far too often ends in suicide because someone didn't realize the dangers of hurtful speech until it destroyed something we couldn't get back. Or think about what passes as our political discourse today, name-calling and lying and villainizing one's opponents. It has grown into a fire of sorts whose smoke and haze obscures any chance we have of seeing the bigger picture, the greater things, the majesty of God working in our midst. Sometimes we prefer that fire, and we ourselves add to its destruction. Or again, think about the way far too often people unlike us are spoken of, the other, such as immigrants and refugees. The terms used for difference are frequently hurtful and hateful. To use James's words, we praise God with our mouths and use those same mouths to curse the likeness of God in other people. We burn in effigy the image of God in certain humans when we use our words to curse and malign instead of bless and uplift. Our language as a society has become too often destructive, and I fear that we are not always better in the church. That's a problem, because this is a place where people come to witness the majesty of God, just like I return to the mountains for the view and to be closer to heaven. But if we allow our speech to be devastating, if we allow our tongues to spark wildfires, then the view of God will be clouded by the haze and the smoke. To think about it differently, look at Jesus' words in the gospel passage today. In Mark, Jesus asks his disciples who people say that he is. And it's clear that most people really don't know. Then he asks his followers who they say he is. Peter answers clearly and surely, You are the Messiah. Jesus expects his disciples to be telling people who he is. And we need to be doing the same thing, telling people clearly that Jesus is God among us, the Savior and Redeemer. But I wonder, when people listen to the words of the church at large, who they think we are saying Jesus is. Is he the God who condones hate because the words of his followers give that impression? Do they think that because too often the church has used hateful language to talk about people of other religions, non-Christian groups in our society, or even Christians who believe differently? Or do people know that God is love because of the language, not only the words themselves, but the tone that Christians use? Do they realize that God is not only the creator of community, the source of communion itself, but also its very archetype? Or do they hear the way we gossip about others, speak about people behind their backs, and pick out the flaws in our neighbors, and think that Jesus must care little about creating true community? We have the ability and the responsibility to shape the way that people see God. And they desperately need us to be the place where God's majesty can be witnessed. There are far too many destructive fires burning in our culture. It has become far easier to say hurtful things to other people over social media or email, or even to their face, as hatefulness has been normalized. James reminds us of the cost of that. We mar the image of God, not just what people can see of God in the world, but we beat down that image in other people, and we damage it even in ourselves when we are not careful with our tongues. Luckily, James also gives us the remedy. He says that the tongue is the rudder of the heart. It actually will steer you. We need to practice expressing words of gratitude. We need to will ourselves to be kind, even when we might not be feeling it. We need to uplift what is good and beautiful and worthy in our lives and the world around us. It will not only steer our own hearts toward God, it will also act as the gentle breeze that clears the haze and pushes out the clouds and helps other people see the grandeur of God again in our midst. God is creator, redeemer, sustainer. Our words should reflect that reality. We can create beauty, community, and goodness. We can redeem the broken. We can sustain the struggling. Words actually have the power to do all those things. We simply have to decide to create rather than to destroy with our tongues. Be conscious this week of how your words are influencing your sphere, what they say about who you think Jesus is, and how they can point people to the beauty of God. Fires are raging all over. We need to be the people who work to put them out, so that others might see who God truly is and be drawn to his beauty. Amen.